racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Welcome to the Grow Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. Hi, I'm Bob Bupka. Always enjoy being here with Jay Randolph Jr., better known as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. And in this week's show, we're going to put a wrap on the Wells Fargo Championship, the Insperity Invitational, and then we're going to dive right into previewing the players. No, it's not a major, but it is the number one tournament for the PGA Tour. So let's bring in Jay Randolph Jr. And Jay, on last week's show, you told us that you're going to be able to tee it up later in the week, and you're going to be trying out a new piece of equipment, that Vertical Groove 3-Wood in your bag. How'd it work out?
Well, I'll tell you, Bob, when I got the Vertical Groove 3-Wood and looked at it, I was so excited. And then I got to play a couple of days later. I hit it three times during the round, twice off the tee and once from the fairway on a par five. And I just love it. It continues the theme that I get from the driver. And I had always been a player that hit a real high ball, and the wind really affected it. And this has lowered my ball flight. It's more boring. It cuts through the wind with these new golf balls. I just love it. I mean, they're a sponsor of the program, but I'm telling you, I feel comfortable in recommending the Vertical Groove clubs, the driver and the 3-Wood, to anyone at any skill level, whether you're Kenny Perry out on the Champions Tour or whether you're Joe Blow, who's a 20 handicap who can't beat anybody. It's worth a try.
Well, these reports are really starting to make me a little nervous. I can see maybe Jay Randolph Jr., you know, dropping his radio gig and maybe playing some professional golf.
those days have come and gone.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. If somebody wants to get a driver or a 3-wood, I think I should mention they simply have to go to vertgolf.com, and that's vertgolf.com. You'll be able to spec out one exactly how you like it. And you heard what Jay said. It's hot off the face, and it flies low. Well, I'm not too sure where Jason Day has been, but wherever it is, he's back now winning. He wins for the second time last week. And, you know, what I admired, Jay, is the fact that Jason didn't seem to really be firing on all cylinders, but still got the job done.
He certainly did. I was very impressed with, you know, he's such a good putter when he's on, but he really hit a lot of smart shots, didn't put himself in many tough positions, loves that golf course there at Quail Hollow, and an impressive win. This is a guy that yearns to be number one again. You know, we forget, because all that's happened with the Spieths and the Thomases and the DJs, and here comes John Rahm and Hideki, you know, this is a guy that was number one in the world. He's had to deal with some injury. He's had to deal with some family situations. And, he won this event 2 years ago, the Players' Championship this week. We'll talk about him. He's on fire right now.
Yeah, and he tells us in the Grow Room how it felt to win.
The adversity and the determination of trying to get that win was huge today. And I know the feeling and what it felt like to be number one, and I know what I had to do to get, you know, to get there. I this is a good kick in the right direction, having two wins. My next step is to try and win a major this year. It'd be nice to be able to, you know, capitalize on, you know, the good play. And if I can do that, hopefully the U.S. Open comes around nicely for me.
All right. So he's already focusing somewhat on the three remaining majors. And I guess that's kind of logical, right, Jay? I mean, if you won twice on the PGA Tour already and there's three more majors coming up, you got to believe that, hey, I could have a pretty good shot at winning one or maybe even two of the remaining three.
Absolutely. And at the level that he has reached, It's somewhat about those majors. It's being ready for the four events and this Players Championship this week. And as you well know, those players hold the Wells Fargo in very high regard because of the golf course and the way they're treated and the atmosphere down there. This is a big win for a guy who just a couple of years ago won the Players. It's his 12th win overall. I mean, you know, this is a Hall of Famer we're talking about. And I'll never forget the first time I met him. Janice, our executive producer, brought him down, basically his first interview on the PGA Tour in the Quad Cities. And just a fine young man. And a lot's happened to this kid. You know, he said it. He remembers what it was like to be number one, and he wants to be there again.
Well, he was 14th in the world going into last week after that win, moves up to 7th, so he's trending in the right direction. And along those lines of the Day family, congratulations are in order. After their heartbreaking miscarriage last November, they just announced they are expecting another child. And Jason Day's wife, Ellie, just a super, super person. All right, let's talk a little bit about some of the other players at Quail Hollow. What about the play of 21-year-old Aaron Wise? Held in there tough. He went from 206th in the world, Jay, right down to 96th. Pretty impressive.
No bigger week for any player in the field, not to take away from Jay Day, but, I mean, this is gigantic for this guy. This is a season maker and the start of a career for a 21-year-old kid who just bombs it and really held, you know, he knew he was right there vying for the opportunity to maybe catch Day, but more importantly, he held his position and finished tied for second. With Nick Watney, who, may I just say, there were 1.6% of the DraftKings teams that had Nick Watney last week. Thanks to Nick Watney, even this chump made money last week on DraftKings because I had Nick Watney.
Well, I tell you what Nick Watney did to Aaron Wise, and our listeners will probably gain a little appreciation of what it's like on the PGA Tour. Aaron Wise finishes. He's in second place alone. Nick Watney has an opportunity to join him at second place, but he hits his approach shot 54 feet from the hole. So I would assume Aaron Wise at that point said, wow, second all alone. Well, Nick Watney with Tony Navarro on his bag, one of the all-time great caddies out there. Nick Watney drains a 54-footer, cost Aaron Wise about $200,000. But great play by Aaron Wise. And as you said, Jay, so accurately, he does bomb it. What about Bryson DeChambeau? I mean, he's much more than a mirage. He's much more than gimmicks. I mean, I'm firmly convinced now this kid's the real deal. And not going to surprise me when he wins and wins rather consistently.
No, as goofy as some of the stuff is, he's committed to it, and he believes in it, and he clearly has game. And what he's starting to garner, Bob, is consistency. We're starting to see him become a fixture now on leaderboards on the weekend, and that's huge. And you look at the guys tied for seventh. I mean, this Paul Casey, the European ATM machine, Phil Mickelson continues his good play. And another name that we've talked about and maybe waiting for the full promise, a kid that went to Oklahoma State and spent a lot of time honing his game on the European tour rather than over here on the web.com tour. Peter Uihlein, tying for seventh at 62, course record on Saturday.
Yeah, and Peter Uihlein, if that last name sounds familiar, he is the son of Wally Uihlein, who's been head of Titleist for quite some time. And you're so right about Peter Uihlein. He chose to go the European way of getting to the PGA Tour, but he is a real talent. And I tell you what, Tiger, final round 74 was the only, 11th time, Jay, in his career to play the final round without a birdie. Last time that happened, 2014 at Doral.
You're listening to The Grow Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, TalkSport 2, TuneIn, AudioBoom, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker Alexa to play The Grow Room Golf Show, and you'll be listening and connected.
All right, Jay, let's move our attention now to the players. It's the PGA Tour's showcase event. Purse of $11 million, winner getting a staggering $1,980,000. Well, yeah. I'm going to ask you the question, who's hot coming in? Anyone surprise you?
Well, I don't think anybody necessarily surprises me. I think because we had that lull for a couple of weeks after the Masters, I'll tell you who's been playing good back-to-back is Patrick Reed. Patrick Reed played pretty solid down in North Carolina. Obviously, Jason Day, I mean, with the momentum. Mickelson's playing good. Justin Thomas loves the venue. Spieth, while he hasn't played that well there in the past at the Players, he certainly has the game that fits there. It's hard to just specifically say one guy. There are a lot of guys that seem to be playing well, but then you got some guys we haven't seen for a while, like a Rahm. I mean, he could come out firing right out of the gate.
Tell you what we're going to do now, Jay, for our listeners. We're going to play Phil Mickelson as he talks about the players, and right after Phil, we'll go into Justin Thomas, followed up by Jordan Spieth.
I love this tournament. I'm excited to be back. It's a real challenge for me. I look at this course, I just can't believe I've actually won here. It's a really difficult course. It's punishing. That it's been fun to be part of the past champions here, because it really takes some special golf to win out here. And moving back to March, I think it's going to be a great thing for the tournament. I think that it was great to move it to May. I don't think it really matters when the event's played. We're going to get the best players in the world playing, and I think that's all that matters.
It's a shot maker's course. It's I think it. You look at the list of winners here, and it's kind of all over the place. You know, you have some guys. You know, some of the best players in the world. You have some guys that maybe haven't had the same success, amount of success as the top players. But it's just, it truly is whoever's playing the best. You know, you have to be total control of your ball. You have to be working it one way off the tee, working another way into the green. Have a certain. You need to have your distances down to where you're putting from the right spots. You know, you can't shortside yourself. You need to be good around the greens for, you know, around the par fives and two. It really is a total package golf course. And I've always said I love this design. I think it's just a well designed, great designed golf course. And it just requires a lot of different shots, a lot of different trajectories, a lot of different decisions really while you're out there.
I kind of feel like I'm freewheeling. I don't have a great history the last few years here, but I also have played the course really well before and had a chance to win. So I love this place. I love the golf course. But if you're not on, there's a lot of small areas to hit your tee shots, small areas to hit your second shots. And you really got to, you know, think through the place and let it come to you. This is not a place to go out and try and force birdies. And I think that's kind of where I've gone last year. That's got me in, or the last few years, it's got me in trouble. So kind of approach it from a more patient viewpoint this year.
All right, Jay, that's probably the key word. And Janet Self, our executive producer, was talking before the show started, saying that probably that's the hardest lesson for young players to learn, patience out on a golf course, especially a Pete Dye design.
Well, and especially these young kids now that are seemingly so much more aggressive at a younger age. And they fire on all cylinders. And when you're at a place like this, you know, Tiger made the point after Sunday's round at Wells Fargo, talking about this coming week, that you really have to be on your game. This is not the type of place where you play nine holes and all of a sudden, I figured it out. I mean, you really got to be, in good form to score well, because they've got it at such a heightened level of difficulty. So that patience, and Jordan has shown that, while he may not have necessarily performed well at the Players, like I said, there's no reason why he can't.
No, that's a good point, Jay. He's certainly capable. He's won three majors. So somebody that just won his first major, and you mentioned him earlier in the show, Jay. I'm impressed with the way he's playing right now. Let's give a listen to Patrick Reed, the new Masters champion.
You know, really the biggest thing is, you know, you have to go ahead and just take care of the golf course. If you go out and you feel like you have a good game plan, you play well, and you execute your game plan, and you shoot the numbers that you you want to shoot, then with how steep of a field it is and with how good the golf course is, I mean, I played the back nine today, and it's absolutely perfect. So, you know, you're going to have to probably go shoot a low number, and the golf course is set up for it, where if you hit a quality golf shot, it's going to reward you. And, you know, if you don't, you're going to get penalized for it. So, you know, it's just kind of go out there and try to attack golf course as much as we can and make as many birdies as possible. And hopefully at the end of the day, you know, it's good enough.
Well, Patrick Reed, as you talked about, Bob, there's been no hangover at all from the Masters. You know, he played in the team event in New Orleans, and really, I thought performed very well last week, and it'll be interesting to see how he plays down there in Jacksonville.
Yeah, and of course, Ricky Fowler, the 2015 champion, had some putting woes at Quail Hollow, but he's such a good putter. I don't expect that to carry over. Your thoughts on that?
No, I think, again, with the history that he's got here, winning in that playoff a couple of years ago, Ricky should be primed and ready. I mean, everybody's you better start playing well now, getting ready. As you and I both know, U.S. Open local qualifying has been going on. The section will be coming soon, and it won't be long till we're back in your backyard there at Shinnecock.
Certainly, we can't preview the Players without incorporating something from Tiger Woods. So give a listen as Tiger talks about playing with Phil on Thursday and Friday.
We don't really get paired together. I mean, normally for most of our careers, we were 1 and 2 in the world, and we're on opposite sides of the draw with exact tee times of the opposite side. We never saw each other. And that's what the tour wanted. They wanted to get fans in here on Thursday and then on Friday. And so they had one of us in the afternoon, either day, but never concurrently together. And as, you know, towards the beginning part where my back got bad, we started getting on the same side of the draw, but not in the same groupings. We're on opposite tees. But now, you know, we're both later in our careers. It's fun for me to be able to have an opportunity to play with Phil, you know, the first 2 days. We don't really do this very often, and unfortunately, for me to be able to play with, you know, a person I've gone against for over 2 decades, it's a lot of fun.
Well, we'll wait and see what Mr. Woods does this week. But I tell you what, the American Players, Jay, and you know it very well, they better keep their mind on what they're doing, because the foreign contingent, a pretty strong one. How about Tommy Fleetwood, just to mention somebody? And Sergio, guess what? He's one of the all-time money leaders at the Players.
Well, and Rory is seemingly at the top of his game. He's the highest priced player on DraftKings this week. So, you know, people are very bullish on Rory this week. Ian Poulter, who's played well this year, was actually the runner-up last year. Henrik Stenson won in 2009. He can always be a factor. And we've had a little bit of kind of a time where we haven't seen Matsuyama at his best. He's played well here at the TPC in his few starts. So watch out for Hideki-san.
Yeah, he could be the first. Well, he would be the first Japanese player ever to win this event. And one other name that, when I think of you know, the Pete Dye design, and I think of all the shot requirements, I think every one of those are in the bag of Justin Rose. He certainly wouldn't be a surprise if he came out on top.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, Talk Sport 2, TuneIn, Audio Boom, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker, Alexa, to play The Grill Room Golf Show, and you'll be connected. Now, when we return, we'll take a look at this unique golf course, the famous 17th hole, and some of the featured pairings. And we'll get the views from MorningRead.com's Alex Maselli right after this.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par three as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Welcome back to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, Jay Randolph Jr., along with my main man, the voice of golf, Bob Bubka. And we mentioned Vertical Groove Golf. Don't forget, you can get your three wood now at vertgolf.com, just like I've got it, and I'd be using it at this golf course, Bob, because it maxes out pretty long. And it's a unique golf course. It kind of changed everything. When you look at this stadium course, when it opened, the die design, we'll never forget the jump into the pond there on 18 with the Commissioner Beaman and Pete Dye, and I believe it was Jerry Pate. Unique golf course.
Yeah, it really is. And let's talk a little bit about the golf course. Jay, five players have tied the course record of 63. Going to be playing to a par 71. Yardage not overly long, but with the tricks of Pete Dye, it doesn't have to be long. 7,245 yards, built on 250 acres. Here's the thing that I get a kick out of, Jay. 26 acres of fairway, but 120 acres of rough.
Yeah, the thing about this golf course, and I've never played it from all the way back because I'm not crazy, but I've played it a couple of times, and you really kind of have to know where you're going, because the tees when you set up are deceiving on some of the landing areas and where the ball will land and how it will move, and a lot of that depends on how firm it is. And everybody talks about the 17th hole. And they should. It's the most unique par three, I think, in golf. Other than that shot at La Hinch, where you don't even know where you're going up over a mound in Ireland. But there's 17 water hazards on this golf course, so it's not just stay out of the drink on 17.
No, there are a lot of holes you can go into the water. Most notably, 16. Which is the same water there, and that's that par 5. But a lot of players opt to go for the green and 2 because it is reachable. The only downside, if you're not accurate, you're going to be in the drink. Tell you what we should do now, Jay, for our Grill Room listeners. They probably want to know about some of the high-profile pairings that are going to take place, and we'll run a few of those down. I'll lead off with Reed, Rahm, and Hideki Matsuyama. Nice threesome there.
I hope to tell you, and they'll play early, late. They'll play early Thursday, late on Friday afternoon. We talked about Reed's consistency. I mentioned Hideki. It's time to show us a little of that form he had, a year ago. And then Rahm, I mean, this guy, just all he does is play well. Then you've got former champions, Jason Day, off his win at Wells Fargo, the 2009 champion, Henrik Stenson, and then the guy who, it surprises me again, but Sergio, who's the leading money winner all time there at the TPC Sawgrass.
You know, Jay, it wouldn't surprise me if the winner didn't come out of that threesome. And then the firecracker threesomes, Phil Mickelson, Ricky Fowler, and Tiger Woods. Pretty interesting when Phil was in the media center earlier and was asked about that pairing, that grouping that he's going to be with Ricky and Tiger. Phil said, you know what I'd like? He said, I'd like it just to be on Sunday and a little shootout with Mr. Woods, winner take all. When Tiger came in later, he was told of Phil's challenge and asked if he would get in on something like that. And Tiger said, absolutely. And they said, well, how much would you play for? And Tiger said, just enough to make Phil uncomfortable.
Well, Phil's got a better chance of being in the final group right now than Tiger. I got to tell you, a little disappointed last week. I thought we'd see a little more from him, especially that final day when he had no birdies, shot three over. You know, he had, you know, a couple of weeks, 3 weeks to prepare. You know, we'll see how he does. This is all part of the process. But, you know, I think he's going to have to fight to make the cut.
Right, he's going to have to get that putter back on track. You know this. Anybody that plays this game knows this. When you're playing and you're making putts, you never think about missing a putt. I mean, Tiger probably went 10 years without thinking about missing a putt. Now, all of a sudden, he knows it's a strong possibility that he may miss, and as soon as you let that thought crop into your head, that's exactly what you do do. You do miss. Some of the other pairings are pretty interesting. I think they're doing him a favor. Poulter, Rose, and Fleetwood together, that's going to be a very comfortable group for those three Englishmen.
Well, you're not kidding. I mean, that makes a real difficult golf course a little easier when you got, you know, three guys that all know each other and can relate to each other. You got three guys that pound it in Bubba Watson, Dustin Johnson, and Brooks Koepka. Be interesting to see how DJ plays this week. Then you've got Siwoo Kim. You've got our defending champion, Siwoo Kim. Don't forget that. Adam Scott and Martin Kimer. And then they mix up, I mean, how about this pairing? How about Rory, Justin Thomas, and Jordan Spieth?
Yeah,
hello.
That's pretty good firepower right there. And Paul Casey, who you called him the European ATM machine. I mean, he's just rolling it in full of confidence since that wonderful victory at Valspar. Russell Knox, a good player, and Alex Noren certainly cannot be counted out. He's missed the consistency, lost in that playoff at the in San Diego there against Jason Day. So they're really set and they're ready to go.
Let's turn now to our Vertical Groove Hotline. What in the world do you think Alex has to say leading into the players? What's up, Alex?
Joining us now in the Grill Room, as he does each and every week, and we're excited about that, is Alex Maselli, founder and publisher of Morning Read, the source for what's going on in the world of golf every weekday. Simply go to morningread.com, and you'll get all the information. Alex, this week, what I want to talk about is, in light of what transpired last week with Jason Day basically winning at Charlotte on a very demanding golf course, really without his A game, is he now, is it safe to say that he's now the best player on the PGA Tour?
No, I wouldn't actually go that far. I think that, I think he's certainly in the conversation. There's no question about that, but I would have a hard time separating a group of players, the Rory McIlroys, the Jordan Spieths, the Justin Thomases, and obviously the Jason Days. And the reason why I say that, and I think you have to certainly add Patrick Reed to that equation right now. And the reason I say that is any time a player can win without his A game, or maybe in this case, Jason Day won without even his B game, That is a player that you, that has to be reckoned with out on the PGA Tour. And every guy that I mentioned is that type of guy that they do not have to have their best to win. And you know what? I can make an argument. You can make an argument how Jason Day got lucky on the 17th on Sunday. I mean, that ball hits the flagstick. Maybe it stops. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe if it misses the flagstick, it goes under the rough. Maybe he bogeys the hole. I mean, there's many different things that go on. But the bottom line was is that he got it done. He finished it off in style. And I think that he is certainly one in many that are in that conversation. I don't think anybody's really separated themselves at that elite level right now, Bob.
We're talking with Alex Maselli, founder and publisher of Morning Read. Can you give me a read on Rory McIlroy? You look at him like one day and you say, wow, he's back. And then the next day, he's not back. Any insight on what you think is going on with Rory McIlroy and the consistency factor?
Well, I think maybe most of it may be the fact that he's worrying too much about being consistent or worrying too much about a particular swing or what happened the day before. I mean, you have to be like a professional football player in this game. I mean, every shot is like a pass, and you have to assume every shot has been intercepted, and you just can't let it bother you. You just got to go on. I mean, at the end of the day, just like Jason Day did this weekend, you have to write a score down on the scorecard for every hole you played, and you just got to make sure you can write a score down there that's going to keep you in the ball game. And Rory McIlroy has that propensity. And it's not just now, it's happened over his career, to write down scores that he shouldn't be writing down. And I think he's just got to get past it. You can't let it bother you. You just got to move on and not listen to what the people in the UK are saying and not listen to what the people in the US are saying. You just got to keep your head down and just keep trying to play golf. And I think sometimes he lets everything get the best of him.
Thank you, Alex. For more of his thoughts, go to morningread.com. Bob, you got some interesting numbers before we head to break.
Yeah, and I need to bring you in on this, Jay. You're the tech geek on the Grow Room, and 1 billion households are going to get TV coverage of the players. And PGA Tour has teamed up with Facebook to stream 30-plus hours of live coverage from the players Wednesday through Sunday. What are they talking about, Jay? Help me out here.
Well, I'll be able to sit on Thursday morning and check people in at Normandy and have my computer on and be on Facebook and watch the golf, comment on it with other people if I want to, or don't even worry about that. But, you know, this is where we're headed. People be able to, you know, be riding the train and they'll be able to look on their phone and watch what's going on the PGA Tour. You and I remember a day where there was no coverage till Saturday. I mean, it's all changed. I mean, it's just wall to wall coverage. You can have as much of it as you want or as little of it as you want. And I commend the PGA Tour. You know, they kind of have this ownership of this PGA Tour Live. They hooked me into spending $49 earlier this year so I could watch Tiger. And I think it's a good idea with their signature championship, their championship, to get it out there to everybody. And kudos. I think, hey, Bob's on Facebook. I see you on Facebook. You might be watching.
Well, I got a ghost Facebooker that does everything for me. Hey, Jay, give our listeners that address on Facebook where they have to go in order to get this coverage.
You just go to Facebook.com. You'll obviously, you need to be a member of Facebook, and then /PGA Tour Live, Facebook.com/PGA Tour Live, and you're watching golf and watching the prelude starting on a Wednesday. So it's fantastic. I really like what they're doing. Time for another short break. And when we return, it's time to groove up with Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, and hear what Kenny Perry had to say last week going into the Insperity Invitational, especially after coming off shoulder surgery. And as you know, we've recently partnered with the fantastic Voices of the Game, hosted by Kelly Elbin. This week, we'll tease you with the first part of Kelly's interview with ESPN's Tom Rinaldi, and it's all about Rory.
You're listening to The Grow Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 AM in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, TalkSport 2, TuneIn, Audio Boom, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or even better yet, just ask your smart speaker, Alexa, to play the Grill Room Golf Show, and you'll be connected. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Welcome back to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf. Glad you're with us, and you'll be glad if you go to vertgolf.com and check out that three wood. I love it. There's no doubt about it. You will certainly appreciate the technology and what they're doing at Vertical Groove Golf. And Bob had a chance to talk with one of Vertical Groove's own, Kenny Perry. He finished tied for sixth at the first full field event back after shoulder surgery. Here's Bob with KP.
Always good to see an old friend out here, and this guy is the epitome of class. When it was on the PGA Tour, now the PGA Tour champions, Kenny Perry. First, an update for your fans. I know you underwent shoulder surgery. How is it now?
Well, it's I guess it's good. I still have pain when I hit the ball, so that's kind of frustrating. I had surgery November the 17th, and this is really my first stroke play event back. It doesn't like following through. I mean, I'm okay. I can take the club back to the top. I can impact's okay. It just seems when I have to kind of reach out and stretch out, you know, as you're following through, accelerating the golf club, it'll send like a lightning bolt or something. It kind of goes down my whole right side of my body. And that's not – but, you know, I can kind of walk it off. I walk about 100 yards, and the pain will ease. And then it's like it's gone by the next shot. But it's kind of frustrating to have to deal with that all day.
Speaking of a lightning bolt, it certainly came down when you captured last year's United States Senior Open, an amazing victory.
Yeah, that was a pretty phenomenal week. Putter woke up, just played beautifully. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to win in 13 in Omaha, the Senior Open. So I knew I still thought I had one left in me. And it, for whatever reason, it all came together that week. I hit it beautifully. I putted beautifully, and was fortunate enough to hold off Kurt Triplett. It was kind of a match play scenario there on Sunday, and I was able to get by him and hold him off there on Sunday to win. So it was pretty special.
The commentators made a big deal of the fact that on the 72nd hole, when you didn't need to hit driver, you took out your vertical groove driver and just striped it.
Well, that's usually the best club in my bag. I feel comfortable hitting driver anywhere, no matter how tight the hole is. And yeah, I used a vertical groove driver all of last year and drove it nice. So I'm anxious to get going this year. I haven't got any events going under my belt, so I'm hoping to get it going again this year and see what I got left.
The pride of Franklin, Kentucky, Kenny Perry, still getting it done out there on the Champions Tour, courtesy of Vertical Groove Golf. Now we're going to take a listen to our friend Kelly Elbin and Tom Rinaldi in Voices of the Game.
That's when my caddy lost sight of it. That little white pellet has never been found to this day.
Hi, this is Kelly Elbin with Golf Life Navigators. Thanks for joining us for another edition of Voices of the Game, where we spend a few moments with some outstanding golf media, talk about some special stories, memories of people and places in our great game. And it is an honor and a privilege to be joined today by ESPN's Tom Rinaldi. Tom, thanks for so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Kelly.
Appreciate it. Tom Rinaldi with ESPN since 2002. You see him on College Game Day. You see him covering tennis. You see him covering golf, the NBA, and, of course, the human interest stories that you're so well known for, Tom. A bit of a man of all seasons, huh?
A generalist is what we'll call it. Yeah, whatever they ask me to do.
Exactly. And you do it unbelievably well, Tom.
Very kind, Kelly.
Thank you. Tom, golf obviously has been something that you've been very close to. You know the people very well. You obviously have covering major championships. How about a thought or two, an anecdote or two that may stand out from your time in golf?
Here's a story, Kelly, that I know I will hold close for the rest of my career. And it happened a while ago with one of the biggest names in the sport, just as he was becoming one of the biggest names. Rory McIlroy, as we all think back to 2011 and having the commanding lead at Augusta heading into Sunday, and the thought that he was likely going to win his first major championship as a prodigy. We know what happened that day and how difficult the day was. He ultimately shot 80 and finished far back. Everybody recalls the tee shot at 10.
Absolutely.
Hitting a golf ball where no one had ever hit it before.
Over by the cabins to the left.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then we can also see the famous image, which is replayed all the time, of the poor tee shot on 13 and him ducking his head and putting it on top of his hands, resting on top of the driver.
Yeah.
If you think back, Kelly, to the way the media handled people that did not come to the press room at Augusta National back then, the club has since changed some of the logistics. Mm-hmm. Players would be brought up to the very famous tree behind the clubhouse, an iconic tree.
Absolutely.
And they would face a phalanx of media. McIlroy has just shot 80, what he thought would be the greatest day of his young professional life, and by himself faced probably 12 or 14 minutes of questions. And if memory serves me correctly, and I'm paraphrasing here,
sure,
a European columnist asked him, among these questions, a query that sounded like, what does it feel like to let down your nation?
Mm.
He's just over 20 years old at the time.
What a powerful question.
And he answered every single question that was asked of him.
To hear the rest of Tom Rinaldi, just visit GolfLifeNavigators.com. That's GolfLifeNavigators.com, and click on Voices of the Game.
Well, it's been a great week. We'll see who's going to win the Players' Championship, and we get closer and closer to that big day in June when we'll declare and decide our 2018 United States Open champion.